Are you an entrepreneur that would like to quickly free up and create more cash flow and lasting wealth? Welcome to the Chris Miles Money Show. Chris Miles is a cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. Chris will teach you how to create more freedom and more prosperity right now, not about saving 25 to 40 years from now. It's all about creating wealth and prosperity today. He's been featured on U.S. News, CNN Money, Bankrate.com, interviewed internationally on TV and radio, and has a high reputation for getting his clients fast, life-altering financial results with his company, Money Ripples. Learn more at MoneyRipples.com. Now, here's your host, Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. Hey, welcome again for a wonderful show this week. Hey, be sure to check out our website, MoneyRipples.com. Check it out, especially if you'd like to see some more information and just what we're up to. By the way, thanks for sharing the show. I love that you guys are following us and sharing it and expanding, you know, the ability for me to be able to teach you guys and be able to spread this word, because this show is really about you guys, how to create freedom today. How do we create cash flow and freedom right now so you can live the life that you love, doing what you want, when you want, and how you want to do it? And so excited to have you guys on because we have a great show in store for you today. So today, specifically, I have someone on that, you know, it's interesting because you guys know that I've had several episodes, you know, ripping on financial advisors, right? You know, I've ripped on several and about the financial advising industry and everything being taught. And obviously, I'm not a big fan of it. But every once in a while, I do run across a financial advisor I actually like, you know, one that's kind of after my own heart, one that thinks outside of the box, someone who actually says, you know what? All this stuff about saving for 10, 15, 20,000 years in hopes of, like, you know, blowing your money away in mutual funds is crap. And this guy that we have on today, Sam Denton, is definitely that person. You know, interesting, Sam actually reached out to me online and we started chatting and found out we had a lot in common, and we started talking on the phone and he actually connected me with a great investment opportunity that obviously we're going to be sharing with you guys today. So, Sam, welcome to our show.
Man, we need to talk more often, man. I appreciate the introduction and good to be here, Chris.
Hey, you bet. So Sam, give us a little bit of background on you. Like, I mean, how did you end up being such a weirdo like me?
Well, yeah, man, I always tell people we're the sum of our life experiences. And the problem was for me, Chris, I started my career in 08 and 09. And so I've been doing this for a little bit over 10 years now, but just experienced everything that happened in 08 with the real estate debacle, working with people that filed bankruptcy, working with people that lost hundreds of thousands of dollars within their retirement. And just after time and talking with people, they really kind of lost faith in the system, their financial professional helping them, and just they slowly started looking for alternative ways. And I slowly got on board as well, too. So 08, 09 definitely really was the triggering point for me. And I ultimately found out, hey, I don't want to see people lose money or lose their quality of life, their peace of mind, a mindset of hope, abundance, freedom, opportunities. But people I was working with had mindsets of scarceness, fear, and anxiety on how they looked at money. And so just wanted to see if there's other alternative ways. And I think we found that.
Amen. Yeah, it's interesting because maybe there's something to that. Maybe there's something about timing when you get in as a financial advisor, because, you know, you came in right, you know, as the markets have been crashing, and I came in right as markets had crashed after Y2K.
Yeah.
You know, so that is similar between our stories, that both of us kind of said, hey, you know, maybe it's not all it's cracked up to be. Maybe it's not as glamorous as, you know, some of the financial advisors have been saying for years.
Yeah. No doubt, man. I mean, a lot of financial advisors, as you know, started in the 80s and 90s, and the markets were just way up from that time point. I mean, of course, you had the 87 crash on Black Monday and all the above, but man, the 90s were like the golden years for Wall Street. So,
yeah.
And then of course we had Y2K and dot-com bubble, but yeah, man. So I think it affects financial professionals as well as people and money as a consumer.
Yeah, it does. So tell us more about, this group Garmax that you work with, right?
Yep.
You know, obviously you know, there are some pretty intriguing things because, you know, we've had different guests on this show. We've had everything from real estate investing. We've definitely had different angles of that, you know, different aspects of real estate investing. We've had people on that have talked about, you know, investing in all kinds of stuff. I mean, like even, you know, different types of notes. You know, we've had someone like from AHP that we've had on before that does things like that. But I know you guys have a pretty good opportunity as well, and it pays nicely. And but it's actually got some good legitimate stuff behind it. So tell us more about this group GarMax you've been a part of. Like, tell us more about that.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, so the main motive behind it is, I mean, kind of following what wealthy investors and wealthy entities are doing. So, I mean, obviously just quote Warren Buffett. I mean, number one rule to investing is don't lose money. Rule number two, follow rule number one. I mean, obviously I'm sure you're familiar with that, but so the goal is to minimize the risk, and which is in my background, humans aren't designed to handle loss very well. Loss of loved ones, money, health, job, all the above. We just aren't designed to handle that well. So how do we dumb down the risk of losing? And so, I got involved with the company, the GarMax Group. They're a family-owned alternative investment company in Minnesota. And I'd worked with a company similar to that a few years ago, to where they, and we're obviously very familiar with real estate, where you can buy a secure asset for discounted pricing, have cash flow, tax benefits, all the above, but also was exposed to a different alternative asset class with distressed debt or defaulted loans. And I really got educated on that, to where these companies out there were buying loads of bad loans from banks, credit card companies, merchant cash advance companies, residential, commercial, farm loans, business loans, all the above. And they were buying them on average for 2.5 cents to 6 cents on the dollar. Now, they weren't collecting all of that money that they were buying at a huge discount on, but I mean, the average is 10 to 20%, give or take. And so they're making at least 3, 4, 5 times their money. And it's heavily collateralized. They have a lien on the debt, which I guess is kind of an oxymoron. And there's a contract to where even if something happens, they could wholesale it to another debt collector, or they could collect it themselves. There's several different exit strategies. And so started working with this company, the GarMax Group, and that's a lot of what they're doing this year moving forward. Because I could probably argue that this concept, as long as it's done correctly, is recession-proof. And I know there's a lot of weight behind that statement. I can't call anything obviously risk-free.
Of course.
But, I could also argue that debt might be our largest asset in our economy at $20 trillion right now, as opposed to land or anything else out there. So it's something that just, it's very minimal risk. The returns are just very good. And so, working with this company, the GarMax Group, they use other people's money, whether it's cash or IRA funds through self-directed IRA, and they have a diversified debt fund platform where they invest it in real estate, distressed debt, which is what they're largely focusing on, oil and gas, late-stage startups, and they do bridge loans all across the country. So their general terms are 3-year and 5-year promissory notes. Some are for cash flow. So it's an above-average interest rate, a little bit over double digits. Now, the reason they're able to pay double digits returns is because they're making very good returns, obviously, on the back end. And they also take a minority ownership interest in the companies that they work with. So they're making money a couple different ways, and they're able to pay interest rate a little bit higher. And just to be honest, it's honestly cheaper for them to go through a private lender to pay them 12% interest rate or whatever the terms are, than really to go to a bank and get 8% interest, along with the points, origination fees, title fees, and other costs associated with that. So, they also have access to available cash that way as well, too. And they also have one that accumulates money, doesn't pay cash out, a little bit higher term as well, too, but they want to borrow it for 5 years or 60 months. Every now and then, they'll have 2 projects per year, which is what you've obviously alluded to. And one project is that he's looking to raise money quicker. And so he'll share his profits in on the back end. So it's a 2-stage promissory note, meaning that on one part, the company will borrow your money and pay you a fixed interest rate over the 3 years, almost like a very equivalent to a 3-year CD, where you could receive cash flow or just accumulates. Normally, it's just accumulation model. And then after 3 years, you get your money back, principal and interest. And then in the last 5 years, it is similar to an equity kicker, but the IRS or accounting term is called a net profits interest. And so you'll literally see profit sharing based on the entity that is obviously the revenues are coming from. And you'll get quarterly payments for 5 consecutive years, almost like free and clear rental property. So it's definitely a great opportunity. And it's in the distressed debt space. I know that was a mouthful.
Well, sum it up. I mean, like you're saying, like definitely the opportunity could be is where you can get like a 10% return on your money plus basically profit sharing, with the company as well. Like you have an equity piece where you can share in some of those profits, which can go on top of the 10%, correct?
Yes, 100%. Yeah. So he's wanting to use private lenders' money, and he's raising, you know, multiple million dollars for it. And he's paying a fixed interest rate of 10%. Mm-hmm. And it will accrue over 3 years, and then it's paid back in the form of a balloon payment. So, for instance, if somebody puts $100,000, they would get paid $130,000 after those 3 years, get their money back, go do something else with it. And then for five consecutive years, years four all the way through eight, every quarter for five consecutive years, they, based on the revenue, the net revenue of the company, it goes back into, you know, cash flow of their bank account, or mail them a check, or it goes back in their retirement account. So honestly, I truly believe it's a win-win, because you're obviously you're helping them grow their business. Now they're buying a turnkey debt collections company to shore up the millions of dollars they're buying in debt per year. So they're providing a value added there, but also he's providing much value added there as well too, because honestly, he doesn't have to do that, but he's just looking to share in his profits, say thank you, and do it again.
Right. And one thing I love that you guys showed me, you gave me an example of this where you said, okay, here, you know, there's, you know, like on the back end, I'm talking about not so much just on our investing end, but on the back end, you're going to, you know, credit card companies saying, hey, I'm going to unload this off you. I'll buy this off you, especially if they're delinquent, right? You know, buy these bad debts so they can write them off. You basically buy them for like maybe 3 cents on the dollar, you know? So if it's like a $25 million worth of credit card debt, you can buy it for maybe $700,000 or so, right?
It's mind-boggling. I mean, it's really just silly. If you wanted to get a calculator or Excel spreadsheet out, it's just silly how much of a discount that they are buying it at.
Right. That's such a big discount. So even if you only collect 10% of that, I mean, on the back end for you guys, at least, right, you're tripling your money, you know, where, you know, that's why people are like, well, how can they afford to pay 10 or 12 or more percent per year? It's like, well, if you think about it, if they can make 200-300% in a year, paying 12% or 10%, not too hard.
Right. No, it's literally mind boggling. I truly believe the most lucrative investments out there can be the lowest risk. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, it's all really, you're taking advantage of an industry that the returns are just mind boggling. I don't think debt will ever go away unless the government decides to just forgive it all. I don't think that will happen. Right. Don't know, but don't think it will. But yeah. So the company's making tremendous returns in the triple digits. And yeah, so paying 10, 12, 15% is not a huge thing, because he's buying it at such a cheap discount. And even their exit strategy is, if something happened, they could wholesale it to another collector, because the average debt collector buys debt around 8 cents on the dollar. So you have to buy, just like say in real estate, you have to buy a lot of real estate to find it valued deals. Mm-hmm. The same thing is true with debt. Most right. people don't think of debt as an asset. So you have to buy a lot of debt so that they buy a ton of debt. And so, which is able them to get it for 2.5 cents, 3 cents, 4 cents, probably maximum 6 cents on the dollar. So
that's right. Well, and there's lots of ways to cash flow that too. I mean, you know, I mean, with collection agencies, I mean, they can do creative things with, say, well, you can't pay me the whole amount or a settled amount, you know, pay me monthly, which still doesn't settle the amount at all. You know, and even if you got paid monthly for a few months, you cash flow it. Then you can still turn around and say, all right, we're selling off to another collection agency, you know, or something like that, you know, especially if they ever stop paying monthly. So you're like, cool, I just cash flowed and just turn it over, because they're still the same balance, you know. You can make some money so many creative ways, you know.
Yes, yeah, 100%. Cash flow, wholesale it, sell it. I mean, it's honestly probably the most comparable to real estate with all the different things you could do. Might be more ways in real estate, but just it's very, very similar. So there's it's almost an unlimited number of ways. And heck, just with our debt balance, I just think it's an asset that a lot of people just in a way are kind of ignorant, don't know a lot about. And so it's definitely a great low risk opportunity. Mm. And yeah, I mean, taking advantage of an industry that is not correlated to, you know, interest rates, Wall Street, of that nature, like some other conventional assets would be.
Right. Well, you know, and one thing that you said, because, you know, it'd be, you know, very transparent with everybody here. Like when I hear about buying into notes and debt, so I always take it with a big grain of salt.
Sure.
Because I love, you know, secured collateral. I love, you know, things that I can actually access and
sure.
And that's, you know, considered quote unquote, you know, can be considered like real, right?
Right.
And one thing you said that I thought was very interesting too, is that, even if this company becomes, let's say it becomes insolvent, there's some protection here, isn't there?
Yeah, a couple different things. I mean, literally, there could be a UCC lien on the debt, or almost right. equivalent to a mortgage interest. I mean, so if the debt is, you know, obviously worth, let's just for easy math, $10 or say $100, excuse me, and he bought it for 3 cents. Mm-hmm. I mean, at the face value of it's $100. So, you know, literally, you could just find somebody willing to take it more than 3 cents. I mean, there's tremendous value there. And I just don't see that market going away. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just based on, I mean, it's very similar, obviously, to real estate. You buy a $100,000 piece of property worth $30,000. I mean, there's a good chance, obviously, anybody can make a mistake with it. There's a good chance you could have a good exit strategy with that. So
even if you don't get the $100,000,
right? Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, so very, very, very similar theology.
Yeah, obviously, buy low and sell it super high, or buy it super low so you can sell it at normal price.
Sure.
Yeah. And that's, I find that very fascinating, of course, you know, and one thing I'm kind of seeing come into the future is that I feel that, you know, everybody wonders what the next bubble is going to be. And I don't believe it's a real estate bubble. You know, I've noticed with different recessions, if you look at them, they're always different. There's always different factors at play, different things that happen. I mean, the stock market might drop in every one of those scenarios, but it's right. a different cause or a different aspect. And I'm kind of foreseeing that there's a more of an affordability issue where inflation is definitely, in reality, is much higher than wages have ever been going up year after year.
Oh, sure.
I feel like it's getting to the point where we're going to have to pay the piper. You know, like it's going to get to the point where people say, man, we're already on two incomes and now we can't even survive on two incomes. What's going on? You know, like, sure. especially with rising gas prices, food costs, housing going up, obviously, like all that stuff is going to be a big factor. And sure. I can actually foresee that something like this with credit card balances and debts and things like that will run up and get to a point where people say, now we can't even make the monthly payment. And so this could create a big opportunity for you.
I mean, you're exactly right. You almost don't hate to look at it like that because it's somebody had to have a loss for you to experience that. But I mean, there's a ton of investments out there that are like that. So yeah, I mean, it's definitely when somebody loses a job, loses their health, I mean, unfortunately, they have to, you know, borrow money, whether it's from, you know, credit card or line of credit or whatever it may be. And it just creates more of an opportunity just looking at it through the lens of abundance and wealth, right. not in a negative greed type way, but just for looking at, hey, this could be a win-win. And honestly, when that is done over time, but it really helps the credit industry along with helping consumers get a better credit score because they're relieved from that obligation to that company from a whole consumer credit score standpoint. Obviously, they got to clean up some habits they're doing financially, but so there's definitely some win-wins out there, and it's a great opportunity.
Yeah, I get it. Like I had to settle on lots of debts after the last recession. So, I mean, it's great to have that win-win because at least somebody's getting paid, and at least I feel like I was able to do what I could do. You know, so
yeah. I mean, literally, not sorry to interrupt you. I mean, just like talking about your model cash flow. I mean, banks, insurance companies. The debt industry, it's probably the most cash flow intensive industry out there.
True.
And I mean, just like your model, I mean, they're not locking up their money. They're lending it out and they're collecting it. And so whenever that they don't collect well, it creates an opportunity in the secondary markets for private entities or individuals. And so we're just really kind of piggybacking on a big cash flow industry.
Yeah. So kind of recap here. I mean, so there's two different types of investments. We got one, you know, where it's more investing into the company itself, you know, the company that can invest in different types of alternative investments where you get a piece of it. So there's the 10% plus the equity piece, right?
You
know,
yes.
And that's a 3-year minimum contract, but you can get paid, you know, consistently for another, like you said, 5 more years. And then there's also another one too. That's more, it's also a 3-year contract, but it's also more of a cash flow play, correct?
Yes, correct. So yeah, everything that we're doing is allowed by the Regulation D. So it allows private companies to raise unlimited amounts of capital if you are an accredited investor, right? If your net worth is $1 million or if you make 200, 300 grand, depending on how you file your tax returns, mm-hmm. and you could have access to that. Or there's something called a Regulation D 506C that allows 35 non-accredited investors to get there. And so just a little bit on the business model. So yeah, the company does two projects per year, and that's where he'll do some profit sharing with the net profits interest. So 3-year loan terms, just like almost like you'd lock in money in a CD for 3 years, but 10% interest rate, simple interest accrues over each year for 3 years, and you get paid back principal and interest. Obviously, the profit sharing 5 consecutive years, mm-hmm. and you receive quarterly payments on that. So that's, he only does that a couple times per year. His general model is 3-year loan terms and a 5-year loan term, where it's, he diversifies it into different companies and divisions that he's in all across the country. Like I mentioned, real estate, oil and gas, bridge loans, late stage startups, and distressed debt. And it's a cash flow play. One's a 3-year, 12% simple interest per year, mm-hmm. where if somebody puts in 100 grand, they'll get $12,000 a year, $1,000 per month, 1% a month.
Nice.
Or if, you know, the, if it's maybe like a self-directed IRA play or just accumulation piece, you could lock it up for 5 years and you get 15% simple interest per year for 5 years. So if put in 100 grand, it would go to 175,000. It'd get paid back to you in a balloon payment or balloon note at the end of 5 years. And normally, I'll say his demographic is being 40 to 70 years old. And the minimum is anywhere from 20 to 25 grand, give or take. But his demographic starts with 100 to 300 grand. Some do more, some do less. Mm-hmm. So there's really not a hard set minimum, but 20, 25,000 is generally the minimum for that. The average demographic investment is 100 to 300 grand, but it's all just where they're willing to go and what's suitable for them at that time.
And that's really awesome. I mean, I remember when I heard that, because I'll tell you, most companies right now in similar space, they're usually dropping down to about, you know, 10%, and then they'll pay monthly. You know, that's kind of become, because people are trying to get a little bit more conservative on the returns. But obviously, as you explained with your model and, you know, with the different things you guys are doing, even paying somebody out 12% is not too hard, is it?
Yeah, no, not at all. I mean, literally, I have a spreadsheet that compares borrowing 8% from a loan from a bank compared to this 12% model. And it really, after their fees and everything, like I mentioned, I mean, it's more than 12%. So yeah, it's definitely not feasible at all. And there's multiple strategies that you could do for it, whether it's retirement income, or some are using it to pay down high interest rate debt. They're not putting more of their income into it. They're letting their assets pay down their liabilities. And so I could go on for probably half hour on that, but there's, you could really kind of put a strategy to it, in whether it's reducing debt, passive income, cash flow, retirement income, whatever it is, just to get your money working for you in a couple of different places.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, not like you said, like, I know we're wrapping up right here, but you know, sure. I think a big key part of this is, cause people wonder, like, well, why would somebody be willing to pay, you know, 12% a year or even 15% if it's like an IRA or something like that, right?
Sure.
Why would somebody be willing to pay that? And as you mentioned, like, the reason why you just don't go for bank money is because what you said, like, it's actually cheaper money to pay investors. And by the way, I'll tell you, this will be more so the case as interest rates rise. Yes. You're actually seeing more of an opportunity for investors to say, hey, yeah, I'm willing to loan money because, well, the bank is super expensive. Like, I can give you a deal. It's a win for you, but it's also a big win for me.
Yeah, I mean, I would say from the company standpoint, I would say it's three things. It's cost for sure. I mean, 12% is obviously above market, but when you factor in all the cost of mm-hmm. them using other people's money, it is cheaper. And maybe I could send you a link of that and you could share it if you like. But yeah. Number two is just, it's access to the money as well too. So obviously if they were to, if companies, and they use banks, bank money, but if they always relied on it, it takes 30, 60, 90 days to get access to that money, depending on what form or fashion you're using the money. Even if you had a business loan or credit, mm-hmm. still take a few weeks, give or take. So it's also, it helps with access to the money. But thirdly, I mean, banks have a provision whenever they loan money out, as you know, called an offset, to where if something happens within the economy or the region or interest rates, whatever it is, I mean, companies can be over leveraged and banks can call the loans.
Right.
I think it's also a risk mitigation play for companies out there that are using private lenders' money as well, too. We saw a lot of that in 08 and 09.
Yeah.
So, cost, access, and risk management, I think, are the heartbeat behind that.
Right. So, guys, there's your opportunity right there. You know, like, that's a big play. So, Sam, I appreciate having you on. Like, this is a great, great opportunity. And I know there's probably some people on here right now saying, dang, this is what I've been looking for. So that's why I brought you on, because I'd like to bring different perspectives and also different opportunities too. So now if people want to get a hold of you, they say, hey, I want to learn more about this. I want to figure out, see if this is good for me or not. Like, what's the best way for them to reach out to you?
Yeah, so obviously I have a website, DentonWealthStrategies.com, and my email is below that. And my email is Sam, at DentonWealthStrategies.com. So website and email are the best. And also my phone number is on top of there as well too. So there's a contact form in my website and also email that comes to me directly or my assistant.
Awesome. And I'll put that in the show notes as well. But yeah, so Sam at Denton, that's DENTON, WealthStrategies.com. So
yes.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Sam. It's been a pleasure having you on. And again, like someone who can get it, who sees it, you're the minority, you're the few, the proud, the anti-financial advisors of sorts. Yeah. So I appreciate having you on today.
Yeah, there you go, man. Honored, glad to be on board. Appreciate the work you do and definitely appreciate the time.
Yep, you bet. And everybody else, you know, thanks for letting us create some value for you today. And I hope you tune in next week. Everyone have a wonderful and prosperous week. We'll see you later.
Thanks for listening to The Chris Miles Money Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and make us a part of your daily routine. And check out our blogs and learn more about Chris, his services, and how we can help you at moneyripples.com. Join us next time on The Chris Miles Money Show.